all for joining us on this short notice. I know I only gave about a day or so notice, so appreciate you guys taking your time to sit through this call. The reason we did this, we've been hearing a lot from constituents over the last week or so about the control zone, and so we wanted to kind of initiate a conversation about that and start to get some feedback from the advisors. I'll have Barb go through the technical information to date. You guys should all have that. We sent out the rec catch estimate, the pre versus post analysis, the NACEL RAC return data, and I think this afternoon, Barb, did you get a chance to send out the commercial data?
I did.
Okay, yep, she did. Okay, great. So we've all got that. I'll have Barb walk us through that really quickly, and then we'll take some feedback from each of you on your thoughts on the control zone, and we have a meeting planned this afternoon to discuss that in more depth internally here and make a policy decision, and then I'll reach back out to the group and let everybody know what we decided. Does that sound good? Is there any questions about that?
Good.
Okay, well, with that, I'll turn it over to Barb.
Hi, everybody. I'm just going to run through the page that Chad sent out yesterday. It has the recreational catch estimate on it. So to date, just for August, we have sampled on the dock a little over 1,600 boats and almost 3,900 anglers. The number of anglers per boats comes out to 2.38, so a little over 2. They have encountered 559 actual landed Chinook and actually 4 unmarked Chinook. Of those, using our genetics data, it turns out that 642 of those are Willapa origin Chinook admarked impacts. They have released 155 unmarked Chinook. They have encountered, an estimated encounter of unmarked Chinook is 263. And then using the 14% mortality in the marine area, that equates to 37 impacts, unmarked impacts. And then using our genetics data, that turns into 24 Willapa origin unmarked impacts. There have been 140 ad-clipped coho kept and 54 unmarked coho kept for a total of 194. So combining that with the July data, the total NOR impacts to date have been, it's only 29, and the total HOR impacts have been 667. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Yeah, this is Ross. How did your 667 compare to the North of Falcon predictions for impact on moors?
The preseason total HOR impacts was supposed to be 3140.
Right.
21%.
That's a major cause for concern for me.
Okay, so let me run through some of that hatchery data as well. You guys received this yesterday. Chad updated it. So far to date, we have 84 hatchery fish at the NACEL hatchery and 16 natural fish. Of the 16, there were 4 males and 12 females, and all of them had been passed upstream. Of the 84 hatchery fish, 3 were mortalities. Everything else is still in the attraction channel. They started working on the attraction channel today, and as soon as they get that watered up, they started working on the pond today. As soon as they get that watered up, those fish will get moved so that more fish can come into the attraction channel. Any questions about any of that? Okay. Chad, do you want me to run through the commercial stuff? Hello?
Sorry, Barb, I was on mute. What was that?
I said, do you want me to run through the commercial stuff?
Yeah, go ahead. Why don't we update everybody on that?
Okay, so yesterday we had a one-day, 1 12-hour opener in 2N, the area in front of NEMA. We had 10 boats start the fishery, and by noon there were only 4 left. Of those, we actually had 5 landings, but only 4 were left by noon. We had 69 hatchery Chinook landed and 16 coho. Of the coho, there were 2 NORs and 14 HORs. There were 16 unmarked Chinook encountered on the boats by the observers. None of those had a CWT. That results in basically, I'm going to run real quick through it, but it basically results in four local NOR impacts using the genetics data that we've collected in the commercial fishery from 2015 to 2017, just for 2N. We'll have another 12-hour opener tomorrow down in 2M, which is the nacelle area from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then we're going to have another one for this stat week on Saturday back in 2N in front of NEMA from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Any questions?
I'm looking at my map, but you referred to you referred to 2M as the nasal area, and I wouldn't call it the nasal area. In other words, it goes up to Island Sand Lake in the middle of the bay.
Right. I'm just trying to separate it in terms of description between where 2N is and 2M is.
Yeah, my point is that 2M includes a big Stanley Channel out there, Junction.
Yes.
And there are NEMA and nasal fish out there.
Basically, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Chad?
All right, thanks for that, Barb. And one thing, I just want to add one little caveat to that. Barb quoted some hatchery numbers. On the file we sent out yesterday, those numbers were through what we had to date in stat week 36 were 77 hatchery fish and 13 naturals. The numbers that Barb gave you today are inclusive of fish they pulled out of the channel yesterday. So we're checking that every day. Those numbers are pretty dynamic and are moving every day. So anyways, just wanted to have that point of clarity.
Thanks,
Chad. If there weren't any additional questions on the technical information, I think we can move to the feedback portion of this. Does that sound all right with everybody?
Fine with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just to kind of set this up, we initiated the control zone this year. It took place on August 1st. The control zone was closed from August 1st through September 30th. That is a conservation measure for out-of-basin stocks. So the calls that we've been getting is with the wreck catch as low as it has been, should we consider opening that up, as well as some of the changes that have happened to marine fisheries out front. So that's what I've been hearing. So now I'd like to go through, and if I don't know if each one of you want to go through and provide us some feedback, or we can do that however folks would like, or just first come, first serve.
Well, this is Ross. As I remember, we created the control zone to protect ESA fish going by the dip in, that time of the year, you know, a lot of tules, which are ESA listed, headed for the Columbia. And I think we said that we would consider after Labor Day, depending on what we saw, reopening it when the tules had gone by. And it seems to me that's the case for reopening it. I think it's protecting ESA, and the ESAs are pretty well hidden in the buoy 10 and hidden in the bottom of the end.
Okay, thanks for that, Ross. Anybody else?
This is Tim. One of the concerns I've got is that if I got it right, we were currently scheduled to keep it closed until September 30th. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, Tim.
Okay, so we've got a situation here where one of the things that we always find ourselves in this state of the game, are the fish late or are they not going to come? And we're looking at about 12.8% of the in-season estimate compared to the preseason forecast. Okay, that's what stores, 12.8, and we're sitting at 21%, 21.2, something like that, for HORs. So, you know, one of the things that I'm nervous about is expanding the fishery impact, though it's been very poor for, I think it's like 1 out of 10 poles got a fish. So it's been very, very low productive fish, fishing for the wrecks up there. But by the same token, What would be the impact, or can you predict the impact of opening that area on especially Willapa salmon, Willapa Norris, and you also got a you understand where I'm headed here. I'd like to know what this could potentially do to an already underperforming run.
Yeah, so hold on a second, Tim Lind. Let me just make sure and finish up my notes. So I think one thing, we want to be careful of the pre-season versus actual comparison. This is the first year that we've undertaken this, so it's a little early to be saying how that might relate to anything in terms of run size or how many fish are actually out in the bay. In successive years, I think we may have a good idea and be able to use this as an indicator, but I think in this first year, I'm not putting a whole lot of stock into it. But one of the things that I am looking at that we have had consistent, at least through from 2015, is the nacelle rack returns. And those rack returns are pretty much, if you notice on that rack return sheet, 2015 was an outstanding year, right? I don't think anybody would argue with me on that. We had a lot of Chinook, people had a lot of success. And if we look at where we were through the end of Stat Week 36 in terms of natural origin fish and where we are in 2018, with the numbers Barb quoted today, we had another three more wild fish in the trap yesterday. that brings us, it's 16 versus 24. We're about 100 fish short of the hatchery numbers that we had in 15, but we still got quite a few days to go in this stat week, and with the rain coming this weekend, I would, my hypothesis would be that we would be pretty close to those numbers by the end of this stat week. So that's one arrow, right? We've got an arrow pointing in the direction that the run size is maybe pretty close to what we predicted preseason, and then we've got this other arrow in terms of the recreational fishery that's kind of pointed in the other direction. So it does. That's part of the reason why these calls are so tough, right? We've got imperfect information, and how do we make a perfect decision with that imperfect information? It's difficult.
Chad, I think there's another indicator, and that's the commercial counts that we just got.
Exactly.
Watching the fishing pressure go from 10 to 4 in an opener is really interesting. We have 69 Chinook and 16 coho. I don't know where we are with coho, but that seems to me, if I remember correctly, seven fish a boat. That is a remarkable. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that seems reflective of what the recreational catch is too.
I
would have to agree with that, in that I think rack returns, especially early rack returns, are not very indicative of the run. They might be indicative of the condition of the river, but they don't really say what the run is going to look like.
Yeah. Well, and another thing that I'm looking at, too, and I hear you, Greg, I'll get to you in just one second, is we've got our spawning ground surveyors out walking streams in the lower sections of the nacelle, the Nema, and the Willapa, and we're seeing a lot of fish holding in those lower sections. I had some comments from Breck fishers as well as advisors on this call that the freshwater fishing has been really good this year. Part of the reason that the commercials didn't do so well is a lot of those hatchery Chinook are already by and holding in the main stems. So
you're not counting freshwater fishing like coming back into a South Bend boat launch?
you confused me with your question there, Tim. I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, you got the marine area, and you got these fish going up and holding up. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that kind of lines up with reports that I got anecdotally that a lot of the guys moved clear up into the within sight of the South Bend boat launch, and 2T was nearly blank. So they might have been following the fish up there, but it seems to be that whatever harvest they had, if they moved early and they're all bright with sea lice and they chopped a bunch of them up there and the wrecked fleet moved with them, you would expect them to catch similar same amount. And I'm assuming that these wreck harvest numbers would be applicable to freshwater as well as to the marine, not just, 2T. Am I right about that?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what we've been seeing in the recreational monitoring program over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, I would say that's close. I know, Greg, you had a point you wanted to make.
Well, I would just like to say that on the commercial side, this is still pretty experimental gear, so you got to take that consideration that this is not, our numbers are reflective of using gear that we're using. So, there's a lot of guys that dropped out of it, and we have been mainly using this gear, so... You gotta pay attention to that number as well. I think that number is kind of misleading, but I will agree with what I'm seeing, not only behind my house, but in the fishery, is I think a lot of these fish are already by our fishery. So I think that needs to be, kept in mind as well. Thank you.
That's a really good point, Greg. Thank you.
I want to add to that.
This is Roz. There are definitely, fish in fresh water that you don't normally see in August. I have theories as to why, but I don't have a handle. I've fished fresh water in a bay for, 20 years, but I don't have a handle. 100 fish in a hole in the Nemo River looks like a lot of fish, but 100 fish isn't a lot of fish. And so I've looked at a lot of those holes, but I don't know that there are a lot of fish in that river. You know what I'm saying? And they're not up at the hatchery. And so also it's the same fish sifting back and forth with the tide every day because they're not progressing to the hatchery. And so, every day you go out there and you see the same 100 fish maybe in the same hole, and you think that's a lot of fish, but I don't think that's a good quantitative measure of how many fish got by the nets or the wrecks in the bay. I think it's hard to say. It might be 1,000 fish in the two rivers.
Well,
that looks pretty good, but that doesn't, 1,000 fish isn't much.
Another call.
All right, thanks for that, Ross. So I've heard from Tim, Ross, and Greg, and so far it kind of sounds like what I'm getting from the advisory group is to leave the control zone in place. Is that not accurate?
Well, hey, this is Steve Berner. If I can get in here a minute.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Yeah, I'm just hearing from some of the sportsmen that they'd like an opportunity to fish below the commercials when they start, and get a whole sampling of possible some coho fishing. I don't know what the impact would be or anybody else's thoughts, but I think the nets are going to probably show right away what the harvest would be on what's left in Chinooks, as well as give an indicator. Maybe might not want to consider opening it right for the first day or two for the commercials, but after you get a sampling of what's turned in, then you might consider giving the sport a shot to go below them.
Okay, thanks for that, Steve. Anybody else?
As I understand it, the control zone is not a commercial deadline. There's a commercial deadline that isn't a zone. It's just a deadline. And the control zone is for recreational fishermen only. And I'm not saying that the control zone should be left in place. I'm saying that you should consider in-season management strongly at this time. And that whatever recreational fishing is appropriate in the bay, and maybe it would be less than three fish a day. Maybe it would be whatever you can come up with. But whatever recreational fishing is appropriate in the bay for Chinook going forward should be appropriate in the control zone, because it was only for ESA fish that have gone by. That's what I'm saying. It should be open like the rest of the bay, and you have a decision to make as to whether to start clamping down on the harvest in the bay or not. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. This is, and I'll put my two fists
in. Can I get a word in?
Go ahead.
Yeah, please.
Okay. This is Bertha. So I'm sitting here on the Neiman, and it's my opinion that we are seeing Chinook in modest numbers early because, you know, for the last couple of years, we have not had this early commercial exploitation out in front of us. And this is more a return to what's normal for a staggered runtime for these Chinook. So we're getting fish in modest numbers. I agree with Ross that they do seem to kind of be milling around in tidal water. They're not really moving up. We get a little bit of rain or a little mist, sea mist, and then they get another handful up at the hatchery. As far as my feeling with the adjustments to out in the bay, I'm concerned. And for those of you who are listening, I spoke to Chad before this meeting. You know, I think that we really need to take a look at bag limits here within the next week. If things don't perk up and numbers don't get better for marine wreck out there, I think that perhaps some downward adjusting in bag limits, whatever they feel is appropriate, even if it's a small amount, to make sure that we get hatchery egg take. I'm always thinking about that. I'm concerned because from the ocean in, it's been a poor showing.
This is Tim. I'd like to add this to this part is that it doesn't bother me that we would create additional fishing opportunity for someone. But what does bother me is that if by doing that we are increasing harvest on a run size that hasn't showed up yet, that we're uncertain about, we're playing a little bit of Russian roulette there, and I surely wouldn't want, you know, that to happen. If we were had all the signs that we were comfortable that escapement and on hatchery and Norse were going to be fulfilled, then that's one thing. But I can't tell you what the department's level of confidence is. But I sure had like high tech have the department do something that increases harvest in some fashion that then comes out of our escapement goals. That would bother me. And I don't know how to react to what you're saying. I guess what my saying is you want to open it up, go ahead. But you better be damn well confident that you are not going to have extra harvest come in on a low run that undermines our escapement goals, hatchery and Norse.
This is Norm. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Okay. Sorry, Norm, I'm on mute. Go ahead.
Can I speak?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, that control, I've got a couple questions. One, Lower Columbia Tules. Are they in the Lower Columbia? Are they in the Lower Columbia? They should be. Those fish have passed by. So that's the reason we created the control zone.
Yeah.
Is to let those fish get past. We didn't create the control zone, in my opinion, to regulate the in-bay fishery. It was created because of the Columbia River impacts. If those fish went by, we should be able to open that control zone. In terms of the bay fishery and a concern about hatchery returns and egg take and whatnot, if we take a look at the marine catch rate, it's horrible. It's miserable. So I don't see where opening that control zone
going to make any difference in terms of effort. You're still going to have a static effort there. Not going to increase effort. So I don't see where you're going to risk increasing harvest on Willapa Bay fish. But I'll go back to my first statement. The only reason we created the control zone was because of out-of-bay responsibilities. We should remove the control zone and let people go out there and fish. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Norm. So I've heard from a lot of folks. I haven't heard anything from Andy, Jeff, or Bob, or Jim Sace. Is there anything you guys would like to add?
I would. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, well, that control zone, if I remember right, the ocean is closed now, right?
Did the ocean close today? Yes, I believe it did.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. But that being said, that control zone, the way it was laid out, is outside the line of demarcation, and that will open it up to fishing in the ocean, which I don't think will go over very well with some of the organizations, but the controllers on NIMS and NOAA and all that. So you might want to be careful in that respect.
Okay.
This is Jim. My read is, if this is the first year, I would take no action because it doesn't appear that it's warranted.
Okay. Thanks for that, Jim.
Hey, Chad, this is Greg again. I just, real quick, I've got Lance on this other line. He wants to say something. He can't get into the conference call.
Oh, okay.
I have him on this other line.
Go ahead. Are you there, Lance?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead, bud.
Too many people on the line or something. We must not be able to accommodate this many people, but...
No, I should have... Well, I'll have to check on that. I'm sorry about that. I requested we had auto extend, so should have worked. Sorry about that.
Okay. I just don't want to, it was a Thule issue, and the Thule's are can open it. Because I don't know if that was necessarily the point of it, but if you want to open it, fire away on it. I don't care.
Okay. And then I think the only one I haven't heard from yet is Andy. Is that true?
Yep.
How did you make it this long?
I tapped. I let Bob go. I gave Bob his 2 minutes. Okay.
Okay. The first thing,
what Greg said, and this had the observers on the boat. Okay, our catch was predicated on gear that is not very functional for that area. Okay, you've heard this many times. The weather came up, the fish just rolled right out of the net. Ask your observers, they witnessed it. Okay? The other one is, if you open that area, the rec season was set having that area closed till September 30th. So if you open that area, that would be additional opportunity, correct?
Yeah, you could look at it that way.
Okay, just so long as we know that would be additional opportunity given if that area opens.
Okay, now I think I've heard from everybody. I'll give everybody just another second if they have any more thoughts they'd like to share with the group before I conclude the call.
This is Jess, if I could get a chance.
Oh, gosh, Jess, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The check mark next to your name, and I didn't mean to.
Not a problem at all. So I agree with a couple of statements that have been made already in which this should somewhat be separated, the discussions between our area fish versus what the control zone was set up for. There should be set up two separate decisions, but there is some concern that increasing additional opportunity could impact what appears to be a rather dismal run thus far. And while I understand this is the first year, we're seeing similar dismal runs elsewhere, so I would hope that if we don't see a nice flush after this weekend of a bunch of fish moving, that we're all going to be on the horn again to talk about decreasing those bag limits to just ensure we can meet our NOR escapement. So that's our primary goal.
All right. Thanks for that, Jess. And I apologize. I'm sorry. For some reason, I put a check mark next to your name and you haven't said anything yet. So apologize for that. Is there anybody else who'd like to get in one last word here before I conclude?
Yes, this is Ross. I've looked at the curves of the upriver brights and the tules and the different runs in the Columbia, and it sort of defies your intuition, but it's remarkable how, even though they're going different places, it's remarkable how the tule numbers and the upriver bright numbers parallel each other very closely. And I don't even know that upriver brights are ESA. So I think that you should know better than we do, but I think your ESA fish are mainly by the control zone, and the control zone should be the control zone. It shouldn't be a bastardized way of cutting sports fishermen short who've only got 20% of what they were supposed to catch.
Okay.
It should be for ESA only. Keep your cats and your dogs separate, like a couple people have said.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, everybody, for participating. Had a good conversation, got a lot of feedback to chew on here. Like I said, we'll be having an internal meeting this afternoon to make a policy-level decision, and I will reach out back to the group and let you know what we decided.
May I make one last comment, Chad?
Yeah.
One of the things that would make me very nervous is that you've got very, very little harvest by the wrecks up north. Future's going to be even worse. But we have a situation where sometimes we connect, in this case, if you were to change that and open that control zone up and it didn't create a conflict with conservation, that's one thing. But if you are going to open it up and that is going to imply that if the fish don't show up and the commercial fleet is fishing below its expectation, you will then increase net time. I'm totally opposed. If it's a quid pro quo, I oppose. Leave it one second.
I'm here.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry. I've been talking and I've been on mute again. I'm in Kurt's office, so I got a new phone here that I'm not used to dealing with, so I apologize for that. So just a bit of housekeeping. I know you guys are all anxiously awaiting an email from me on when the next Willapa Bay advisory group meeting will be to discuss Willapa Bay policy review. I'm working on that and hope to have that out by the end of the week, so stay tuned for that. We're trying to settle a date and having kind of some issues with that around the commercial fishery and some other things we got going on. So. But I'm working on it, and we'll have something out to you guys soon about that. We'll definitely be sending out the mailers as we move through the commercial fishery there to keep you guys all up to date on what we're seeing in that fishery, and would expect this will be the first of a few conference calls that we'll have this year to discuss fishery management. So appreciate all your guys' time, and thank you.
Thank you.
Good job, sir. Thank you.